evening. What brings you here?
Well, it's the perfect weather for a nice read. What's tonight's fancy? You can never go wrong with orders. Brilliant men. I've heard that Callard has the original documents he'd written during his adventures. Not surprising, considering where he was from. I am studying Old Anvian. It's not part of our daily lexicon, but I was curious, and I haven't been able to stop. If the Chiles ask for a written test, I'll pass with flying colors. Speaking Old Anvian, on the other hand, I'm not delighted to say that I'll fail miserably. I mean, the stresses, the intonations, it's a lot to remember. And it's very different. Well, don't you sound confident?
Come over then, show me your Anvian tongue.
This line, here. I understand majority of the accents, but saying it all together is... Wow. That's quite impressive. Just rose off the tongue for you. I dare say this isn't the first time you've practiced the language. I suppose it would be compulsory for you. Your ancestors spoke it, and I'd assume the Queen doesn't want to reduce it to words on parchment. It already seems ancient in our time. And earlier today, I was reading about the very first eminence, King Dinus. He believed everyone should use the language because of its erasure in his hometown, even though he wasn't the only founding family, and the others had their own traditions. He wasn't even appointed as ruler, he simply became one by giving orders, and everyone else followed. Well, I suppose it could have been because of his knowledge on infrastructure and building a society. But there was no battle, no annoyance. It's quite strange, actually. Yes, no trial either. I can't believe it's in a week. I'm glad they managed to come to a consensus. It took longer than I thought, but that means they had several discussions and disagreements. I would be more concerned if they concluded quicker. Are you not nervous? Yes, I am. Hence why I'm studying. Though I wish they'd give me more time. I've rarely left this room. I come here in the early morning and leave late at night. I've fallen asleep a couple of times too. But this material is too good not to read. Some of them are riveting. I didn't realize how rich our past is, and the pasts of the nations bordering us. There's so much in here, and I've hardly scratched the surface. And I have a week left to absorb as much as I can. Was that a bit of sarcasm I heard? That's sweet of you, but no, you don't need to summarize it for me. You might have a head start on most of these topics, but I think I'll be able to manage quite fine on my own. And if that's at the loss of sleep, then so be it. Oh, did you talk to your mother about that incident? Yes, the conversation we had in the garden. Well, she is busy governing Cerulea. She won't be doing it for long. I didn't mean that as a jab to her. She physically won't be doing it for long once one of us is chosen. I wonder if she's tying up certain threads and making it cozy for whoever succeeds her. Even once she becomes the throne's council, she'll be a valuable advisor. I never said I hated her. Weren't you listening? She's one of the best. I don't expect her to fix everything in her time, and she may do with what she had. Though, let's be honest, some of her choices was to appease the nation so there wasn't an uprising. If you asked your mother, I wouldn't need to answer. What, are you afraid of her, and what she'll say? I forget that there's still some emotion in there. But out of everyone in existence, the one person you wouldn't want to upset would be your mother. You didn't care much before. You never cared. Not for the teachers, not for the students, not for the people who might have been under your reign. I doubt you were indifferent to their thoughts about you. But even if you were, I meant it as a lack of empathy. That one time, when you were so angry you burnt the drapes in your room, only to convince the teachers that it was Rina who did it. Your persuasive skills were definitely something. I can only imagine what they're like now. But anyway, Rina's family had to pay for the damages, and Rina herself was ostracized and bullied for something she never did. But did you rectify the situation? No. You let it happen. You watched it happen. Did you feel bad at all? Now is an improvement, I suppose. It's probably better late than never. Still, at first, I was astounded that someone was capable of brushing it off as if it was a normal day-to-day occurrence, as if you were used to doing it and having everything your way. Oh? And what have you done recently that wasn't in your best interest? You actually talked to the gardener. Wow. He must have been surprised to hear what you had to say about his work. How did he respond? Yes, I bet he was shocked to hear the eerie speaking his language of trees and shrubs and flowers. What did you talk about? Ah, so you took it upon yourself to do some reading. Volume 2 of Seedon's Draft is one of my favorites. If my mother questions you again, you're well equipped for the basics now. And if it comes up in the trial, you might stand a chance against me. Though it's doubtful. Learning herbology. It was drilled into me for as long as I can remember. I needed to recite every chapter once a week until I could almost write the books myself. And I've retained it all ever since. If the council is smart, they wouldn't have that as a test. Not if they wanted you to win. Yes, yes, I know. Unbiased and unbesmirched, I know. But I know better than to believe that, even with the Queen's reassurances. People bend the rules when eyes are on them, and break them when eyes are not. Your mother is astute, so if there is someone cheating, they'll bide their time and wait patiently. I have to think that way. And it might make me seem disingenuous, but everyone is disingenuous in one way or another. Unfortunately, we live in the highest societal echelon where power and knowledge are one and the same, and they can ruin you just as much as a blade. Sharpen your blade, then. What's your weapon of choice? An History of Cerulean Sword Dance Version 3. They probably had to write another one because of Perilous. Didn't he perform at your 20th birthday? I heard about it. How he was spinning and flipping around the ballroom like a cat. Shame I wasn't invited. I had more important matters to deal with anyway. Like trimming my nails. The sword dance was your choice at school, wasn't it? The one time you were actually graceful. I never said anything about me. I know I was terrible at it. Especially the Kalari grips. I could never position my hands or my legs correctly. I think they'll definitely add a trial of combat. Not only will you win, but it also somewhat honors the initial traditions. You know, physical strength. We haven't had a proper fight in a while, have we? Are you rusty? Do you still fling people on the ground? I'm pretty sure I still have the scars from our duels. You did not make it easy for me. I bet you loved it, tossing me around like a rag doll. Your lessons will actually account for something now. Unless I somehow manage to beat you. I can already imagine the look on the judges' faces when you eat the floor. Ha! True! A leech can't steal strength and dexterity. Is that your nickname for me now, by the way? Oh, it's not that I don't like it. Sounds like a nickname of adoration, almost. Whatever you say. It's not like you adored me before. That would be unheard of. And there you go, lying again. As if we weren't inseparable. But I suppose a leech like me had to cling to you to suck out all that knowledge and whatever else I was accused of doing. When I was pulled out of Astron, I continued learning. It's the best school in Cerula, without a doubt, but I was taught some hard truths and valuable lessons. No, it isn't enough. I can never stop learning. When you do, you admit to yourself that you have no interest in the world anymore. You can always learn something. Well, I study so much because I have the ability to. I was born into a life that my mother and my uncle, Dariel, desperately fought for. Though I didn't grow in the slums like they did, and their family before them, she told me the stories. Little food, needing to steal to survive. I was even told that in the worst months, if someone contracted a disease or couldn't heal from a wound that would inevitably lead to death, they would go to the graveyard with the weapon and, in easy terms, leave the world, knowing it would be one less mouth for their family to feed. Yes, it's hard to imagine. And I could see the truth in her eyes as she relived it. She reminded me of how different my life was to hers, and that I should grab every opportunity by the reins and control it. If everything is an opportunity, then there are no successes or failures, just growth, because things will always need improving. So, that's what I do. Well, I know that reform is important to my mother, so it's important to me. The difference between her and I is that she's lived through some horrific things, but she wasn't brought up in nobility. The Athalan family were given the title when she was 11, and they had to build respect from the ground up. So I have that view, but I also have the view of the highest class. Each side has me jaded for a variety of reasons, but I have an obligation to side with my mother and my family. And that means learning all that I can and proving the Athalan family deserves being part of nobility. Well, the throne is an added bonus, to be honest. Think about it. A family once from the slums has unseated the old and respected Ilves power. The heralds will be harking of Cerula's doom, and that the nation will become destitute like the slums they came from. You know they'd spin something like that. Have the whole nation against the decision if I was selected. I still can't believe we're opponents. I honestly didn't know my mother would contest. In the past, we had a discussion about it. She asked me many questions, and we started a debate, which lasted almost a whole night. You know, what I'd do in certain situations, how I'd change certain laws, how I'd strengthen Cerula as a nation, and bring more lands into the fold. It wasn't the first time she questioned me about politics. It's a regular occurrence for us to be informed of the positions nobles take, what other nations around us are doing, the measures put in place, all that. She makes sure that I'm aware of it, and it keeps me sharp and able to ask the right questions to the right people. No, I thought the whole idea of ruling was theoretical, a way for her to understand what my priorities were, where I stood with certain topics. It was another day of theory in our house, but I never thought she would actually put my name forward for the contention. Of course I had to agree. If I didn't, I would put the whole family to shame, and my mother would have been the entertainment for the next however many months, or years, if someone decided to write a chapter about failed contentions. She strongly and bravely challenged the seat after all other nobles favored your line, and I stand with her. I don't think I was put on the spot. We'd talked about it earlier, and it was an opportunity that I decided to grab. Well, she might have been testing me, for all I know. None would be able to contest afterwards, and the window would be shut until the next ascension. Out of everyone in that room, I knew myself the best, and I knew that if I said yes, we would be one step closer to actually achieving change. But the nobles are scared of it. You're scared of it. You were scared of me to begin with. I can't remember exactly what you said, but you accused me of something like bathing in mud? She was so unhinged, and you said it with such truth, as if you had actually seen me do it. Yes, well, that's the problem with believing every rumor you hear. But, and that's the thing, isn't it? It doesn't matter what titles we're given, we've never been respected from the beginning. We share no love with the nobles because they, even now, have never given us a chance. They hold on to those rumors, and when they're proven wrong, do you think they care? Do you think they'll switch sides when their whole existence rides on conformity? No, because siding with us puts them in the line of fire, and they would rather hang on to what they have than lose their reputations. It's just how it is. We've done well without it for this long. A little longer isn't going to hurt. Besides, it's the citizens we care about. And they know it's my mother's generation who lived with them, understood them. The Athalin family were there, and they stood alongside us when we needed them. So it's only right for us to fight for them now. And that's my mother's goal, and it's now become mine. I don't need my own. Helping people, changing Cerula, that is good enough. Didn't you also relinquish your dreams for duty? I haven't forgotten. At that age, we were both naive of what our family expected of us. We actually thought we had some type of agency to change our fate, as it were. I thought I would use the power I acquired to change what I could within the parameters I was given. I never thought about claiming the throne, not once. Well, you must have thought about it your whole life. Even if your mother had another child, you're still the first Iris. But it must have come as a surprise for her to relinquish it so early. She's only been an eminence for 33 years. Her father was an eminence for at least 50, and only passed it on because he died. And so now, for both of us, the breadth of our mother's beliefs in us are now being realized. For better or for worse, depends on whose side you're on. That's all that really matters in this game, doesn't it? One as old as time itself. The battle of power, privilege, and pride. We both have all of them, though in each they're vastly different. Well, you have more privilege being an Iris. I am a child of the newest noble line, but compared to others, I have a lot. pride, well, I think we're neck and neck. And you have more power than I do. More authority. In the physical sense, too, I'd imagine, given your prowess at fighting, and the urge to hit me all the time. Of course you think it's warranted. You were much better at containing yourself in the past. Either that, or you're more violent nowadays, with no one to take it out on, so the first person who challenges you gets the brunt of it all. Weren't you the one who asked me to be truthful? It's not my fault if you can't take it. And it's not like you do the same, is it? Constantly berating me, judging me, assuming all these things as if they're fact. You parrot what you've heard without any sort of research into it, and you expect me to be cordial with you. Not a chance. You did it in the past, and you still do it now. I gave you the benefit of the doubt in the beginning, but I should have known better. Who gave you the information about me? Just think about it for a second. Nobles. All nobles? And do any of them actually like me or my family? Well, that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? You hear something once, you might question it. You hear it again, and suddenly you start to believe it. Yes, but you can think for yourself, can't you? You knew me before. Better than almost anyone. I shared things with you. I still have yet to share with anyone else. But I suppose it still wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for you to believe me. If you'd thought a little harder, if you'd trusted me, things wouldn't have turned out this way. We can't change the past. Only reflect on it. I wonder if our story will be immortalized like one of these books. I dabble in writing, but the version that will make it on the shelf will be the one that favors the victor. And that's how it's always been. You wouldn't want them lying about your intentions, would you? Exactly. Actually, I've been rather curious, but if you won, what would be your first decree? Well, you must have some idea. Something that you've been wanting to change for a while. I agree with you. Yes. Cerula has brilliant relations with the neighboring nations, but our port can handle more business. They have their ways of governing, but expanding our trading is something worth doing. No, I'm not surprised that you have a decent idea. You're intelligent, I know. You're just slow in other areas. You have all these books to teach you about history. That's where you excel, because the material is here, and it spans centuries and across many realms. You have unlimited access to it, and your memory is, as far as I know, quite good. It's your social skills and awareness that need lessons. Yes, I think I'm quite good at them. I didn't have any friends at Astron except you, and I don't think you were the leading example of friendly etiquette. It was when I left the school and explored beyond my means that I developed them. Learned through their eyes, and saw the world how they witnessed it. And what did you do? Surrounding yourself with noble children and rich families who are inclined to do whatever you say. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? No one dared go against you for fear of being ostracized. If you demean someone, they'll do it too. It's clear mob mentality. You knew the influence you had, didn't you? You knew no one could really say anything because you were the queen's child. They followed whatever you did, and treated your words as gospel. So, the poor students who looked at you the wrong way, or whatever they did to insult you, they had no chance fighting their corner. They had to take it. No, not me. I knew better. Do you remember the very first time I talked back to you?
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
I can't recall exactly what you said, but I know you wanted me to do something, and all I said was no. And the way you looked, oh, it was almost as if you'd never heard the word in your life. At least not directed at you. And the room went silent. No one dared move. Ah, yes, that was it. You wanted to sit where I sat because it had the best view of the courtyard. I almost thought you'd manifest a reaper to take me there and then. What? You finally knew what embarrassment tasted like. And I won't lie, it felt good.
No, not to see you suffer. And for you to use that word to describe it says it all.
It felt good because you had a chance to realize that not everyone will bow down to you. And I mean, if you hated it, you would have left me be and continue doing what you did best back then. But instead, you... well, you continued to do that, and I continued to talk back. And then that became a sort of love language for us. Oh, I'm sorry, are you repulsed by the word? You look almost afraid of it. Have you not heard it often? Fair enough. I'm not used to it either. I've had many partners, but only a couple have said it to me. I thanked them for their honesty and said I didn't feel the same way. Well, I didn't want to lie to them and drag it out. They say love with the hope I'll return it. I adored them, but I knew it wasn't as deep. After they noticed I wouldn't say it back, they grew cold. And they didn't wait for me to fall as deeply as they had for me. I've never said it because I'd never mean it. I don't want to give someone happiness if it meant lying to myself. Sooner than later, the consequence of that will come. Would you do it? If someone said they loved you, and they wanted to hear you say it, even if you didn't, would you give them what they want? At least you're not that heartless. That would be annoying, wouldn't it? Having everyone bound to your hip in search of your favor must be tiring. But if they're pining for your heart, it must be even more insufferable. I pity the person who falls in love with you. I guess we'll both be pitied by the other then. A pair of loveless fools, hmm? You know what'll come next, don't you? They're probably already looking for suitable consorts. I wouldn't be surprised if the Queen had a list of all the potential candidates, all vetted and approved for you to choose who will govern beside you. I doubt they would for me, and my mother would want a say in it. She would cause havoc if they chose without her permission. Besides, the choice only takes meaning depending on who wins. Let me have a few guesses. For you, I think, at least in the top 10, it'll be Amrin Gaikas, because of his family's recent contribution to the army. Jandar Cyrillis, obviously, their family's heading the new builds in Orwood. And Maliri Kelstein. Not only is her voice unlike any other, but her father has a monopoly on the export of cerulean silk. I don't like any of them either. Well, Malira's tolerable. We met a few years ago. My mother wanted to get my father a present for when he returned from his sailing, and his wardrobe is quite frankly disastrous, so Silk was what she chose. Her and Malira's father got talking, leaving the children on the sidelines. Well, she's nice. She loves the sound of her own voice, as does everyone else, but she's nice. She has dreams of becoming the next greatest singer, and I think she has potential. My eyes and ears know when they see and hear beauty. I don't need to understand music to know that she's good. And it helps that she's very attractive. What can I say? I'm a man with little preference and a voracious appetite. Well, when I want something, I pursue it. Reputation be damned. It's already tarnished, so why bother? Unfortunately, you don't have the same freedom, do you? Well, just because you can't doesn't mean you should condemn everyone else who does. You sound a little jealous. Maybe a little bitter, too. But I get it. You've had to dance to the royal tune. I dance to a different one, but your chains are tighter than mine. Cerulea looks to you to be upstanding and an example to all others. You might be like that now, but in school, you ruled with fear. Don't think they've forgotten. But most can turn a blind eye because it's you. If I did the same things you did, even a fraction of it, there'd be protests to kick me out. You'll get away with it until you don't. People will remember. You think everyone who watches you are doing it because they admire you or they find you fascinating. They are waiting for you to trip so they can tell others you fell, or that I pushed you, depending on where their loyalties lie. The nobles especially are in that spotlight, but you and I most of all. While out in public, they've been there. While we explore the castle, they've been there. And during the trials, they're going to be there. I don't care about it per se, I simply have to be aware of it. Manipulate it, if I can. They're waiting to report something, so better to give them what I want to give them, what they expect, because then I'll know what's coming. Yes, you've needed to maintain the purity that is the royal family. No rule-breaking, appearing earnest, all those things. They look for it. They look for those characteristics and spread it around to emphasize that you're still the kind family the realm sees you to be. But for us, the Athalian family, they look for the worst and take one thread and tie it to different ones to weave a pattern that reflects their distaste for us. Like when it was reported my father pushed one of his men overboard. You must have heard about it. There was talk that something had happened at sea when they reached the port. And a few days later, people thought it was my father's fault the man died. It was only a little while after that the sailors corrected the story, that the man accidentally fell, lost consciousness, and unfortunately drowned. They don't need the truth. They're not looking for it. I look for it in everyone. Though some are very talented in hiding it, you included. Because you're an enigma to me. Back then, I thought I knew you. I thought all that you did was a way of lashing out, that perhaps the royal family wasn't as good as the Dominion painted it. The way you acted pointed towards that theory. Of course, I was trying to figure you out. I still am. When I said that, I felt like I didn't feel anything for you. In that moment, I was truthful. All those years numbed it. And now? My curiosity has returned. Now that we're together again, I want to figure out who you really are. Now that we're grown. Not what the realm has sculpted you to be, not what they hide behind words of good deeds. You, in your rawest form, Only time will tell.
Although I think that's enough time for tonight.
I think I've reviewed enough old Envian to understand the basics. I need to move on to a different subject. I don't know yet. I'll peruse around after dawn and see what's interesting to learn. Will you be studying too? I never said I disliked your company. You're easy on the eyes, and you're fun to tease. What's not to like? Well, we've spent more time together these last few weeks than the last 8 years combined, and the trials haven't even started yet. I'm intrigued to know where things will go from here. So, shall I save a seat for you tomorrow? I don't know. If anyone else comes in here and sees us being civil, it'll help both our reputations. Cerulea will see we're putting the past behind us to focus on the throne, which puts us in a forgiving light. I don't care about my reputation, but because it reflects more than just me now, I need to change some tactics for the sake of my line. It's not only the common folk who need to believe I can forgive. Because if I do win, the houses that have slighted me won't be as fearful to apologize and make peace. I have forgiveness in me, but it must be earned. Especially after... It doesn't matter. The people who should be asking won't, so there's no point lingering on a fool's dream. If you understood it, you wouldn't have to ask who they are. Anyway, I'll leave you be. Enjoy your adventures with Oros, or your Cerulean sword dance.
I'll see you tomorrow. Maya.